Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, if you're listening, my friend, I want to thank you for the wonderful honor and opportunity of filling in for you. I can't tell you how thrilled I am every time I do your show. But even more importantly, congratulations, my buddy, on an absolutely spectacular book. I bought my own copy. I also received a copy graciously from you, but I bought the hardcover. You sent me the soft cover. I have been going through it. It reads, it's one of the best reads I have ever read. It is not just a thriller. It is not just one hell of a spy novel. I believe it is literature for our time. The Jack Hatfield character, to me, summarizes the frustration of the patriotic American. And now I hear that your book is going to debut number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. I have to be very frank. I'm not surprised. It is an absolute superb read. It is a page turner to all of you out there, members of the Savage Nation. I don't like a lot of modern literature. I frankly prefer a lot of the classics. But this is a gem, and I urge all of you to go out and buy it, not only for yourself, not only to give you hours of enjoyment and enlightenment, but more than that, to make a statement. To make a statement to the liberal establishment. To make a statement to the politically correct thought police in Britain, who have banned Michael Savage, and who try to marginalize and censor and delegitimize his views. And hopefully with your support, and my support, and all our support, this book will skyrocket to number 1 on the New York Times bestseller list. And as I'm thinking about all the events that have been going on today and over the weekend, I can't help but think of the Jack Hatfield character. Now, I haven't gotten to the end of the book, so I'm not going to blow the ending. But to me, what's obvious is, what is Jack Hatfield, the book's protagonist, the book's hero? What is he encountering? What is it that he sees in everyday life that he struggles against? It is the moral blindness in the West towards the rising force and danger of Islamofascism. Everywhere you look, radical Islam is on the march. And here in America, our secular liberal elites, the fifth columnists among us, bury their heads in the sand. In Europe, they bury their heads in the sand. And what is at the heart of radical Islam? What is at the heart of Islamofascism that Jack Hatfield so decries, so loathes, so fears, so rightly tries to warn America and the West against? It is hatred. Hatred for the West, hatred for Christianity, but most of all, it is hatred for the Jews, hatred for Israel, and everything that the Jews and Israel stand for. And what have we seen over the last 4 or 5 days? The Hitler of our time, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, a man who has repeatedly vowed that he will wipe Israel off the face of the earth if he acquires a nuclear bomb. A man whom we now know by his own admission is less than 1 year away from acquiring the bomb, the ultimate weapon of mass destruction. He is hailed as a hero. He struts on the world stage the way Hitler strutted on the world stage. And as this is going on, the Palestinians come to the United Nations, led by Mahmoud Abbas, their leader, their Quisling. And he stands there and now asks for the United Nations to recognize Palestine as a full independent state. And what are the Palestinians asking for? The West Bank, Gaza, East Jerusalem. As every Israeli intelligence official has told me, as every person who's looked on the map has noticed, an independent Palestinian state in those borders is a dagger aimed at the heart and soul of Israel. And it's not just Hamas in Gaza that wants to wipe the Jews out. They are not just the only Islamo-fascists in that part of the world. In Abbas's own Palestinian Authority, the one that Obama loves, the one that the UN loves, the one that the Europeans embrace, the moderate, peaceful Abbas. In the Palestinian textbooks, Jews and Christians are compared to pigs and monkeys. The map of the Middle East doesn't even have Israel on it. He talks peace at the UN. He talks jihad in Ramallah. And what has been the most salient, conspicuous fact of Obama's foreign policy? He has betrayed Israel. Above everything else in his foreign policy, he has isolated and undermined the Jewish state at every turn. He has allowed Hezbollah to gain power in Lebanon. He has called and championed a Palestinian state for years. He has criticized Netanyahu and Israel over a couple of apartments in Jerusalem, in their own capital. He never criticizes Hamas. Have you noticed that? To Ahmadinejad, the Iranian Hitler. Never do I see Obama criticize him. In fact, what did he say late last week? After again, the Iranian leader said, "We have nothing to negotiate. It's like Hitler. My way or the highway." He calls America a great Satan. He mocks Obama as, quote, a puppet and a phony and a weakling. Those are his words. And what does Obama say? "I am still willing to shake his hand. If he is willing to extend his, I will extend mine." This is what he says to Hitler. And as all this is going on, Israel is being undermined, surrounded by enemies. All of it supported by Obama. Now he loses the Jewish vote in New York's 9th district. Now he's losing his Jewish fundraisers. He's in trouble. And so this weekend, the latent anti-Semitism of Obama now bubbles to the surface. In front of the Congressional Black Caucus, he now gives a speech urging the Congressional Black Caucus to support him, support his jobs plan, and in particular, soak the wealthy. And what he wants to say is asking a billionaire to pay the same rate as a janitor. If that makes me a class warrior or a warrior for the working class, I wear that with a badge of honor. But he doesn't say janitor. Notice what he says. Boys, play clip one.
If asking a billionaire to pay the same tax rate as a janitor makes me a warrior for the working class, I wear that with a badge of honor.
Very interesting. Boys, can we play that one again? I thought I heard the word Jew.
If asking a billionaire to pay the same tax rate as a Jew, as a janitor.
As a Jew. Oh, I understand now what he's getting at. Because in Obama's left-wing academic circles, in the black nationalist circles that he ran with Reverend Jeremiah Wright, what does Jeremiah Wright preach? The Zionist conspiracy. The Jews as the center of all evil, along with the white man. That's what Reverend Wright preached. That's what the hard left has been saying for years. It's the Palestinians who are the victims. It's the Jews who are occupiers. It's the Jews who run American politics. It's the Jews who are causing all the problems and instability in the Middle East. That's what the Arabs say. That's what many of the Muslims say. That's what Reverend Jeremiah Wright says. And now you saw the ultimate Freudian slip. I don't know about you, but when I talk about a janitor, I don't think about Jew. I'll tell you that right now. Call me crazy. Jew, janitor, that doesn't conflate. Now I'll tell you what else he's thinking about. He's thinking about the Jewish vote collapsing for him. Because he's thinking of the 9th District in New York, where they got hammered, in Queens and Brooklyn. And he's got Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC chair, running out saying, no, no, we're a natural home for the Democratic Party. We're a natural home for the Democratic Party. Really? The Jews now? Democratic Party's a natural home for the Jews? Well, let me ask you one simple question. If you're such a natural home for the Democratic Party, why does your president despise Israel? Why are you the most anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, and yes, I'll say it, anti-Semitic president we've ever had in our history, even worse than Jimmy Carter? My friends, the question I have for you is a simple one. Are we making too much about nothing? Was this just a simple slip of the tongue? Or was this a Freudian slip? What do you think his use of the word Jew means? Do you think it exposes a latent anti-Semitism? 1-800-449-8255. What did you read in that comment? This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Here is DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz going on about, no, no, Democratic Party, that's the natural home for the janitor. I'm sorry, the Jewish vote. It's the natural home for the Jewish vote. Boys, play the clip.
It will be demonstrated in the election next year that the natural home for Jewish voters, both domestically in terms of policy and is our Israel policy, is the Democratic Party and President Obama as our candidate.
You know, she sounds to me like a Brezhnev era communist apparatchik. You know, they just drone on and on. I swear, it's like these commies from the 70s and 80s under the Soviet Union. Communism is on the march. America is going to be destroyed. We are the rising superpower. You listen to this woman, and it's like lie after lie after lie. It's so bad. Her lies are so bad. Literally, I don't even think her followers believe it. This to me is incredible. The economy under her, for her, is fantastic. Economy's never been doing better. The 9th District in New York, 40% Jewish. No, 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 no. This was a tough seat for us. This was a very tough for us Democrats to win. What is happening is they are in panic. The Jewish vote is melting and evaporating in front of their eyes. Jewish fundraising is melting and evaporating in front of their eyes. Why? They think Jewish Americans are stupid? They see this con man in the White House. And what they see is the most anti-Israel, anti-Jewish president in American history. And they are now seeing the Jews with their backs against the wall. They have no ally in the White House. Sol, in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
How are you, Jeffrey?
Good. How are you, Sol?
Okay. I'm enjoying your program tremendously. A lot of success.
Oh, thanks.
And I do agree with what you're saying. Because I saw through Obama, honestly, from when he was running for president. And to prove what you're saying is right, when Netanyahu came to him, I think about a year ago, he treated him with a lot of disrespect. And, you know, everything is so transparent. I'm shocked that a lot of Jewish people don't see that at all.
Sol, I got to tell you, they're starting to see it now. And I'm telling you that I swear to you, I treated my mother-in-law better than this guy treated Netanyahu. All right, I'm not, this to me, the way he treated Netanyahu, throwing him out the side of the door like that at the White House, there is the Prime Minister of Israel, our strongest ally in the Middle East, maybe even our strongest ally in the world. And he visits the President of the United States. My mother-in-law never went out the side door. I never told her, hey, you know, go out the side door. You know, Mama, she's Italian. Hey, Mama, don't go out the side, go out the side door. Don't go out the front door. I never did that to her. This is the Prime Minister of Israel, where the trash, literally where they put out the trash, that's where he told Netanyahu to get out. He wouldn't have lunch with him. He wouldn't break bread with him. That tells you everything you need to know about this man. He is on the phone pressuring Israel, but he's never on the phone pressuring the Palestinians. And God forbid, and this is the fatal contradiction. Leave everything aside. All you have to understand is this. The Jews of Israel, in their own capital, in their own homeland, want to build a couple of apartment units in Jerusalem. And Obama says no, publicly. He decries it. He condemns it. He criticizes it. Biden comes out. Hillary Clinton comes out. How dare you build a couple of apartment buildings? I'm not talking the West Bank. I'm not talking Gaza. I'm talking Jerusalem. Has he ever criticized the Hitler, the Iranian Hitler? Ever? When he was butchering the students, the pro-democracy students a couple years ago, did he say anything? Silence. Does he say anything now? Silence. As he races towards the bomb? Silence. Instead, what do you get from the liberal establishment? You get NBC, literally, NBC goes to Tehran and they're televising him. They're shooting him as he's jogging at 5 a.m. And there's that stupid NBC correspondent, I don't even know her name. She's, oh, he cares about his people. He gets up at 5 a.m. He's so devout. He prays at 5 a.m. He works out at 6 a.m. He's flying at 7 a.m. They love that Iranian Hitler. But Netanyahu, they hate. My friends, we have a traitor in the White House. And today it is Israel. Tomorrow it will be us. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on a Savage Nation.
Savage.
If asking a billionaire to pay the same tax rate as a janitor makes me a warrior for the working class, I wear that with a badge of honor.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Have you noticed? Nobody in the mainstream media wants to talk about this, so I'll mention it. There is a strain in the Congressional Black Caucus, many of them black nationalists, who clearly, if they're not anti-Semitic, have a very deep hostility towards Israel and the Jewish state. And for example, the Congressional Black Caucus, Maxine Waters, one of the top leaders, has been now recently complaining that Obama isn't doing enough for the black community. And so over the weekend, when Obama addressed the Congressional Black Caucus, he said, look, stop complaining. I'm your man in the White House. I'm doing everything I can. But Maxine didn't like that. Congresswoman Waters didn't like that. You see, the Marxist that she is, she doesn't like that he's telling the Congressional Black Caucus, easy, stop putting so much pressure on me. She says, hey, when Hispanics pressure you, you don't complain. And especially when the Jewish community, AIPAC, pressures you over Israel, you don't complain. Listen to Maxine Waters. Boys, let's play clip 18.
I'm not sure who the president was addressing. I found that language a bit curious because the president spoke to the Hispanic caucus, and certainly they're pushing him on immigration. He certainly didn't tell them to stop complaining, or even in a speech to AIPAC, he would never say to the Jewish community, stop complaining about Israel. So I don't know who he was talking to.
In other words, what she's basically saying is, I know she's trying to couch it with the Hispanics, but Maxine Waters doesn't. She's got a lot of Hispanics in her district. No. She doesn't mind the Hispanics. You can see. You know, he never tells the Jews to stop complaining. So why is he telling us to stop complaining? And this is the dirty little secret about some of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus and the so-called civil rights leadership in America. They have a deep distrust and hostility towards the Jews. Some of them are clearly and openly anti-Semitic. And it's not just Maxine Waters that has an Israel problem. You remember Representative Cynthia McKinney? She finally got booted out of Georgia. She was the one that went on about a Jewish conspiracy running America. The Jews run the world. Israel as the center of all evil. She was the one that actually recently went on that flotilla to bypass the Israeli blockade of Gaza. Her father came out after she lost and said, you know why she lost her seat in Georgia? Because of the Jews. Then you have Jesse Jackson. The media never points this out. No, he's the second coming of Martin Luther King. Jesse Jackson, big civil rights leader, big civil rights leader. Remember his comment about New York? Let's put it this way. It's a family show. There were too many Jews in New York for Jesse Jackson. Let's just put it that way. Jesse doesn't like the fact that a lot of Jews live in New York. Jesse doesn't like that. Louis Farrakhan despises Israel, hates the Jews, anti-Semitic as they come. Yet Obama welcomes him and the mother of all associations, his mentor, the man he spent 20 years in his church, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, hates Israel and hates the Jews to his very core. And when he was finally denounced for his hatred of whites, for his hatred of the Jews, for his radical black nationalism, even then Obama came out and said, I can't disown him. I can't disown him as I would disown my own black community, until he finally disowned him when it was politically expedient. That's the crowd that Obama runs with. And so now we're finding out, as the Palestinians are on the verge of potentially getting statehood, as Iran is close to getting a bomb, as the Jews are now literally encircled with mortal enemies, this man in the White House is no friend of the Jews. And he's certainly no friend of Israel. 1-800-449-8255. Ronnie in New York on line 3. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to say that I think that Obama, and in this context, some other black leaders' actions underpin a greater allegiance to the Muslim ideology than Jews, Israel, and even the American ideology. And if I can create a contrast, if you compare what Netanyahu said in his speech about 9/11, which was so moving, to a Pew Research Center poll that everyone should look up that shows that over 80% of Palestinians support the murder of U.S. soldiers in the Arabian Peninsula, and over 3/4 of Palestinians support the murder of U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. And it's a Pew Research poll on the Internet for everyone should see and call their congressman and ask why that's so. I think when you put those people with that ideology over America and over your closest friend Israel, who bleeds for you and cries for you with 9/11, it's really telling and it really says something. And I'm from the 9th District in New York, and we had enough and we were fed up and we said something about it.
Ronnie, you know, you don't have to even, you're right, but you don't even have to cite me polls, because on 9/11, I was in the newsroom in the Washington Times, and the American media would not show this. But the Canadian media did. We were monitoring media from all over the world, not just in America, Canada, Europe, the Middle East. The CBC had cameras in the West Bank and Gaza. When they found out the Twin Towers went down, the streets of Ramallah were teeming with celebrations. People were literally weeping with joy that America had been struck. So we know what the Palestinians are all about. We know when Abbas comes to the UN and says, peace, peace, I want peace. He doesn't want peace. He knows that an independent Palestinian state is a launching pad to wipe the Jews out. But what I don't understand, and this to me is the $64,000 question, I understand why the Palestinians want to wipe the Jews out. I do, because that's the mentality in the Arab world. The Palestinians are like many Muslims. They see the Jews as infidels, and they want the Jews gone forever. But what about Jewish Americans who voted for the Democratic Party? What about liberal Jews? This I don't understand. Now, this is not even a question, frankly, of your allegiance to Israel trumping your allegiance to America. You're Jewish. You're culturally Jewish. You have probably relatives, friends, family members in Israel. How could you not care for your own blood? How could you not care that after the Holocaust, 6 million dead, thousands of years of persecution, it's like the Irish, it's like the Poles. You finally achieved your own independent state, your own freedom in a small slither of land. And now this man in the White House who speaks for your party and your ideology and your movement is stabbing you in the back and allowing you to go right down the drain. And you can't turn around and say enough is enough? You mean your liberalism is more important to you than your Jewish heritage? Shame on you. Shame on you. And I believe, just as it was in the 1930s, and these are facts that nobody wants to speak about, the New York Times would occasionally run stories about the Holocaust in the back pages, but they essentially covered up for Franklin Roosevelt that he didn't give a damn about the concentration camps. He didn't give a damn about Auschwitz. Many Jews put their loyalty to the Democratic Party over their fellow Jews who were being slaughtered in Europe. That's the sad fact. And after World War II, what did everybody say? Never again. And now we are on the verge of repeating never again. And not only are we turning our back on the Jews, but the man who says he's going to finish what Hitler started, Ahmadinejad, I am a nut job. He comes here and says, sure, I want the homeland for the Jews. Literally, it's what he says. But in northern Canada, say maybe northern Manitoba, he said, maybe the Arctic. He's for a Jewish homeland. He goes, in the Arctic, if the Russians and the Canadians agree. You see, we don't want the Jews in the Middle East. We frankly don't want them anywhere. But if you have them in the Arctic. He says it all the time. I'm for peace. Peace. That's Ahmadinejad. And here NBC is doing this puff interview with him. Look at him with the school children. Look at him jogging. Look at him. He's like Rocky with his hands in the air after a 20-minute run. He's like Rocky. They used to do puff pieces on Hitler in the 1930s. This is the liberal elite in America? My friends, we have met the enemy. And he is within. Let's go to Lillian in Sacramento on line 5. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
That the president of ours didn't make a slip of the tongue. That's an unconscious remark from him. His hate has just slipped through to the world. The hate runs so deep he doesn't even know what he's saying. He can't comprehend a word he said. That is just one mean man. And he's not going to kill the Jews. He kills the Jews, he kills the Christians, and everybody who believes in the holy state of Israel.
And look, let's put our cards on the table. We have to, now look, Aristotle said this. To understand a problem, you have to stare the truth in the face and call it for what it is before you can solve anything. This is a man. Look, what he believes in his heart, I don't care. I don't care, really, honestly, I don't care. What I do know is this, and these are facts. His father was a Muslim. He was raised as a Muslim. He attended a religious Muslim school in Indonesia. By his own admission, he learned the Quran. When he was president, forget when he was a candidate or as a young man, when he was president, he was interviewed by the New York Times. He recited passages from the Quran from memory. He prayed in perfect Arabic, and in his own words, and this to me was one of the most chilling statements I ever heard from any president. The most beautiful sound I have ever heard is the call of the azan, the Muslim call to prayer at night. Members of the Savage Nation, let me tell you this right now. I just adopted a beautiful boy. He's 18 months. My wife and I are, we're just on cloud 9. God has so blessed us. You want to know the most beautiful sound I've ever heard in my life? God is my witness. Two nights ago, when I had that boy with me and he slept with me in our bed and I heard him sleeping, that deep, beautiful baby sleep. That's the most. You ask me my question. Ask me. Call me. What's the most beautiful sound you've ever heard? It's my boy sleeping at night. This man says the most beautiful sound. It's not the Star Spangled Banner. It's not God Bless America. I don't know. It's not even the Chicago White Sox winning the World Series. Say something, for God's sakes. No, it's the call of the azan. That tells you everything you need to know about him. So people now are saying, oh, my God, he's betraying Israel. He's betraying the Jews. I didn't see it coming. You didn't see it coming. Everybody saw it coming 3 years ago, but you didn't listen to us. 1-800-449-8255. Is Obama an anti-Semite? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. At that speech to the Congressional Black Caucus over the weekend, Obama, now sensing his poll numbers dropping like a stone, seeing now the American people turning on him, went to the Congressional Black Caucus and said, "My call for raising taxes on millionaires and billionaires is like Martin Luther King. It's like civil rights, but economic civil rights. And you cannot abandon me now. I need you now to support me like you've never supported me before. Do not abandon me. Do not give up on me. In fact, I want you to march now for me as you marched against segregation in the 1960s, like you did in Selma, like you did in Birmingham 40-some years ago. That's what I want you to do." And then, members of the Savage Nation, he used a very interesting turn of phrase. And something that troubles me, and I hope should trouble you. Boys, roll clip 14.
I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. I don't have time to complain.
No.
I'm going to press on. I expect all of you to march with me and press on. Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do. CBC.
I'll be honest with you. When I hear him, first of all, I have to tell you, when I hear him, it reminds me of Fidel Castro. I swear, it's like Castro. It's like, viva la revolucion! Viva la revolucion! Push on! Push on! We're poor! We're becoming an economic toilet! We're becoming a joke on the world stage! Nobody has a job! I'm a complete failure! But push on the revolution! Viva la revolucion! It's right around the corner! But let that go. Let it go, Jeff. Let it go. Notice the phrase marching shoes. Put on your marching shoes. You're the president of the United States. You could use any word that you want. You're supposed to be the president for the people, all of us. Not red state America, not blue state America. Remember that? But the United States of America is going to be a uniter, not a divider. But suddenly, marching shoes. What does he have in mind with marching shoes? Goose steps? Like the Nazis? What is that? And then I thought of this. Remember when he called for a civilian police force, independent of the military, loyal only to the president? Here's what he said a couple years ago. Boys, roll the clip.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Is that the marching shoes he's talking about? In other words, as he is losing his grip on power, he's now at 36% in the latest polls. He is dropping like a stone. He's starting to approach Jimmy Carter territory. There's no coming back from Jimmy Carter territory. Okay? It's finished. Look at him. not only is he playing the class warfare card, it's not enough now. No, no. Remember Jimmy Hoffa Jr., SOBs? We got to take them out, those SOBs in the Tea Party. You remember that? No, no, it's not enough now to play the class warfare card. Now you got to play the race baiting card. Now you got to incite the races like they do in Venezuela and Bolivia and all these other Latin American socialist dictatorships. Pit the races, pit the classes against one another. El Generalissimo, as they say in Latin America, the Caudillo, the strongman, the boss. He now says it's time to press on for la revolución, for the revolution. This is what you are now seeing from this man. It is a politics of despair. It is now a politics of him clinging to power. But I have news for Mr. Obama. You may call the Tea Party racist. I was just watching CNN today as I had my little boy on my lap, feeding him a little peach muffin. And I see this Democratic hack on CNN saying, oh, I see racism everywhere at the Tea Party, racism everywhere. They're so opposed to Obama, it's got to be racist. Really? So if you're opposed to socialized medicine, record deficits, and out-of-control spending, suddenly you're a racist. In other words, if you oppose Obama, you're a racist. You know what they're telling you? It's the exact opposite of Martin Luther King. A man is judged by the color of his skin. And if you criticize a man because he has the skin color that's politically correct, then you're a racist. They see skin color. They don't see his character. The problem with Obama is this, and there's no getting around it. He is a drunken, wannabe socialist dictator. And Mr. President, if the Congressional Black Caucus didn't tell you, if Maxine Waters didn't tell you, this is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. And once again, congratulations, my friend, on an absolutely superb novel. It's going to debut at number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. Hopefully it will skyrocket to number 1. If you want to order the book, go to michaelsavage.com. And not just even to order the book, to frankly look at some of the most important sizzling stories out there. But Michael, one of the reasons I know you wrote the book is you want to change our liberal culture. And the way to do that is through fiction, through novels, and through movies. If this book goes to number 1, if Abuse of Power skyrockets to number 1 and stays on number 1, this could be like some of those Tom Clancy novels. I believe it could be translated into a major Hollywood film. And it will do extremely well. It will do like 24 for the first, what, 3-4 seasons. And your message today is more timely than ever. And I just want to thank you, my friend, because it is an absolute tour de force. It is, frankly, one of the best novels I've ever read. I'm halfway through it. And even though I got my little baby that I'm taking care of, my new adopted son, I'm telling you right now, When I'm not feeding him, when I'm not changing the diapers, I'm reading Abuse of Power. So I just want to thank you so much. 1-800-449-8255. I want to come back to a topic that we touched on a little bit previously. Here is Obama in front of the Congressional Black Caucus. We know his poll numbers are dropping. We know the economy is tanking. We even now know that potentially Hillary or a liberal challenger may emerge in the primary against him. His own party is turning on him. And what is Obama now saying? I cannot lose my base. I cannot lose African-American support above all. And so here he is in front of the Congressional Black Caucus over the weekend saying, I need you to march the way you marched in the 1960s. Boys, roll the clip.
I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. I don't have time to complain. I'm going to press on. I expect all of you to march with me and press on. Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do. CBC.
Put your marching shoes on? What do you think he meant by that? Do you think he was talking like Martin Luther King? Let's go out there and let's peacefully protest? Protest what? You're in the White House. You control the Senate. Before 2010, you had the House and the Senate. You control the entire American government. And now, all of a sudden, because you're at 36% in the polls and you got repudiated November 2010, all of a sudden now we got to put our marching shoes on? What, to keep you in power? So let me get this straight. You can't be a one-term president? It's somehow a sin for America now to have you as a one-term president? Apparently now, this is the new and last line of attack. If you remember, just pull back for a second. What did they tell us during his presidency? That he was brilliant. That he was the liberal messiah. That he was Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and Mahatma Gandhi, all thrown into one. He was going to part the seas. He was going to make peace with the Muslim world. He wasn't just a citizen of America. He was a citizen of the world, he told people in Berlin. He went to Cairo and he said, no, I'm a Muslim. I've discovered my inner Muslim. Suddenly now he's not Barack Obama. As he put it, I'm Barack Hussein Obama. Peace was going to usher in now with his presidency. Okay, no, that didn't work out. Then the stimulus was going to work. No, that didn't work out. Do you remember Obamacare? 4 million jobs. He came up, 4 million jobs. 4 million jobs. Obama, we just passed Obamacare. You're going to have 4 million jobs. First of all, you take over the American healthcare sector. You nationalize healthcare. You don't create jobs. You destroy jobs. Even Western European socialists know that. But let it go. Nancy Pelosi, 4 million jobs. 400,000 immediate jobs. Immediate. Shovel-ready jobs from the stimulus. No, that didn't work out. That didn't work out. Trillions of dollars in deficits. That was going to create jobs. Keynesian economics, spend, spend, spend. That didn't work out. So now, what are they saying? He didn't create peace in the world. He wasn't the liberal messiah. The economy is completely tanking. Inflation is rising. The debt is out of control. He has destroyed every sector of American society. Like Dr. Savage has so brilliantly put it, he's like a little child who takes apart a toy. And then he doesn't know how to put it back together again, and it's everybody else's fault. He even cries like a child, like an adolescent. He's crying. Everybody's to blame. The Tea Party's to blame. Republicans are to blame. Whites are to blame. Earthquakes are to blame. Tsunamis are to blame. Everything's to blame. The Arab Spring, the war in Libya that he launched, everything. Oh, the Eurozone's in crisis. Don't blame me. The Eurozone's in crisis. There's an earthquake in Japan. Earthquake in Japan. How can you recover? It's an earthquake in Japan. We never had earthquakes before, but now there's an earthquake. So I don't blame me. Blame the earthquake in Japan. My friends, what you see now is a president so desperate that he is now calling for his shock troops to come out and incite class war and racial hostility. This is what you are now seeing. And remember it was him in Tucson, Arizona, after the shooting of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords? You remember that? A new tone. Civility in America. It was right-wing talk radio. It was Sarah Palin. Remember that with her little website with the crosshairs on it, with the districts? That inflamed that crazed killer to shoot her in the head. No, that was that little crosshair on the website. But he can say, punish our enemies. He can say, put on your marching shoes. That's not inflammatory. No. That's just Obama being Obama. That's the dear leader doing his thing. And so now, when the facts are against them, when the arguments are against them, when the American people have turned on him, does he say, I was wrong? Maybe it's time to do a U-turn? Maybe it's time to change course? Racist. That's their answer now. Racist. You hate him for the color of his skin. That's why you hate him. Never mind the fact that most Americans voted for him. Never mind the fact that he won a large percentage of the white vote in 2008 when he won. Was that racist? Now suddenly it's racist. And here is Hollywood. The Hollywood left, those degenerates in Hollywood, now coming to his rescue. Here is Morgan Freeman. I got to tell you, I never cared for this guy as an actor. I saw Driving Miss Daisy. I think that was the best role he ever did. Outside of that, this guy, how this guy has survived in Hollywood all these years is beyond me. This is a no-talent actor who, to me, should be grateful that he's made millions of dollars. If I were him, Morgan, take it for what it's worth. I'd shut up. I wouldn't say a word. And I'd say, thank the Lord I've made millions of dollars as a no-talent hack. But no, he's got to go on CNN. And he's there with that Brit, that phony, superficial Brit, Pierce Morgan, doing his, this is his investigative journalism that he's bringing to America now. He's interviewing Hollywood actors. And he's asking Hollywood actors, wasn't electing Obama supposed to eradicate racism? Or do you think it's made it worse, Morgan? What do you think? Boys, roll clip 26.
Has Obama helped the process of eradicating racism, or has it in a strange way made it worse?
Made it worse. Look, the Tea Partiers who are controlling the Republican Party stated, and what's this guy's name? Mitch McConnell. Their stated policy, publicly stated, is to do whatever it takes to see to it that Obama only serves one term. What underlines that? Screw the country. We're going to do whatever we do to get this black man. We're going to do whatever we can to get this black man out of here.
This guy's a moron. This guy's a moron. Mitch O'Connell? It's Mitch McConnell. Okay, pick up a newspaper. You can know that. That's number one. Okay? Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But secondly, tell me, was it racist when conservatives or Republicans opposed John Kerry? Was it racist when they opposed Al Gore? Was it racist when they opposed Bill Clinton? Was it racist when they opposed Jimmy Carter? Shock of all horrors. My God, newsflash. In Hollywood, this is a newsflash. Brace yourselves, members of the Savage Nation. You're a conservative. You're a Republican. You don't want the socialist in the White House. You want him to be a one-termer. How could, my God, this is unbelievable. They actually oppose him for his policies. So even somebody as stupid as Pierce Morgan with that annoying accent of his, I got to tell you, this guy, how this guy ever made it on television is beyond me, but let that go. You know, in America, I just have to say this. For some reason, Americans think if you have a phony British accent, you're intelligent, like you're a genius. They just think, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it goes back to the Founding Fathers. I don't know if it goes back to the Declaration of Independence. We were once a colony of Britain. But suddenly, you have that phony British accent. You can be as stupid as stupid gets. Stupid is as stupid gets, like Pierce Morgan. They'll give you your own talk show. Just have that phony English accent. That's all you need. And ban Michael Savage. That's another thing. I'd love to ask Pierce Morgan, what do you think about the ban on Michael Savage?
That's a very complex question, Jeff. Very complex. Very complex. Nuanced point of view here. We don't know whether he should be banned or not. People are divided in England.
But let that go. Here's Pierce Morgan, okay, now saying, but hold on, is it really racist? I mean, they didn't like Bill Clinton. Boys, roll clip 27.
Is that necessarily a racist thing?
It is a racist thing.
Is it not just Republicans? Wouldn't they say that about any Democrat?
No, because they would have gotten rid of Bill Clinton if they could have.
But they tried.
They did try, but still.
Still.
They're not going to get rid of Obama either. I think they're shooting themselves in the head.
Yeah, they're shooting themselves in the head. Very inflammatory language there, Morgan. Very inflammatory. So stupid. They tried to get rid of Bill Clinton. They now want to oppose and get rid of Obama. Is it racist? One is white, one is black. Stupid. It's the ideology, you moron. 1-800-449-8255. Is opposition to Obama racist? And let's put a double barrel question in there. Marching shoes on. What are they getting at here? What is Obama saying? Is he calling for a civilian police force? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Kelly in Baltimore, Maryland, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Congratulations, Papa Jeff.
Thanks.
Hey, listen,
thank you, Kelly.
This is a standard Democrat playbook where when they get behind the eight ball, they start pandering to the black vote. If you remember back when Gore was running for president, he went to, I think, the Apollo Theater and put on the Al Sharpton Act. And then Hillary Clinton, I think she went down to Selma, Alabama, and started with that same style of speech. And now Obama is following suit because he feels threatened. He knows his numbers are slipping, and so he's going to start pandering.
Yeah, and you know, and Kelly, you're dead on, Kelly. You're absolutely dead on. But this is what I find to me: if I was African American, I would find it insulting. I mean, you have to come and address us, and you got to change your language. You got to change your cadence. You got to speak to us like somehow we can't speak proper English. A, it's demeaning. Secondly, I thought we already had the first black president with Bill Clinton. That's what they kept telling us throughout the 1990s. That's why nobody could impeach him, because the Democrats were running around. That's the first black president. He's the first black president. Blacks love him. He loves blacks. He may be fully white, but he loves blacks. Blacks love him. Toni Morrison, he's the first black president. Suddenly, no, it's Obama's the first black president. He's half white, half black, but no, he's black. He's black. He's all black. So let me get this straight. Whenever you criticize a liberal or a Democrat, you're a racist. And that's political correctness. That's the thought police. That's what they used to do in communist Eastern Europe. It's an old Marxist trick. When you can't argue the facts, when you can't argue logic, when you can't argue on the proof or the overwhelming empirical evidence, you demonize the opponent, enemy of the state. Enemy of the people, reactionary, capitalist dog, imperialist. That's the argument. So now it's racist. Everything is racist. So here we have Morgan Freeman being on Piers Morgan. Notice they're not talking about his movies because he's not selling many movies. They're not talking about what a failure he is. This is the question I would have for Morgan Freeman. Tell me, Morgan, you keep going on about racist America, how racist America is. How do you explain the fact most of our sports celebrities are black? The president is black. Look how well African Americans have done in Hollywood. Take yourself. You're a no talent hack. You've made millions of dollars. What other country in the world could somebody like you, with such limited talent, with obviously nothing between his ears and who's never read a newspaper in his life, how do you explain the fact that you've made millions of dollars? Would a racist country do that? Would South Africa do that? Would Nazi Germany do that? No. So my question to you is this. Why is it when traditional America says we don't want a socialist in the White House, you can't defend him on grounds of his ideology and his policies? Let me ask you that, Morgan. He would have no answer. My friends, liberalism is an ideology of bankruptcy, and you are seeing it every day. We'll be right back here on the Savage Nation.
have time to feel sorry for myself. I don't have time to complain. I'm going to press on. I expect all of you to march with me and press on. Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes. Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do, CBC.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, here is our con man in chief. There's the strong man in chief now basically telling his supporters, we want class warfare. We want racial warfare. Put on your marching boots. And this was him a couple of years ago calling for a civilian police force, independent of the military, loyal and accountable to only one man, the dear leader. Boys, roll that clip.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Sure. I mean, Hitler had the SS. Chavez has his goons. Stalin had the KGB. We've, God forbid, you're the commander-in-chief. You should only have the military under you. You also have the FBI. You also have Homeland Security. How much more do you need? But no, according to the dear leader, he's now got to have his own personal civilian police force. So maybe they could wear an O band around there. Instead of the SS, they can put a little O there. The O team. You like that? This, to me, is unbelievable with this guy. It's an outrage a day. And as this is going on, if you notice, as he is now ratcheting up the volume on racism, as he is playing the race card, he is literally pulling down the volume, dialing down the volume on the Solyndra scandal. Here you have his corporate cronies, led by George Kaiser, a billionaire, what they call bundler, meaning he's a big campaign donor. He doesn't just give himself. He gets his friends to give, and they give in bundles. A key architect of his victory in 2008. Remember when Obama said he was going to change the culture in Washington? No more shady deals. No more influence peddling. No more corruption. The lobbyists, he was going to chase them out of the temple. The money changers out of the temple. The lobbyists out of the temple. Well, George Kaiser said, hey, I put a lot of money in your campaign coffers. I helped get you elected. I'm putting a lot of money in a solar manufacturer called Solyndra. And even though the Chinese build solar panels at much cheaper rates than we do, and this is going to be a huge government boondoggle, a waste of $535 million, taxpayer dollars, your money, my money. That $535 million, that didn't come out of the sky. This is a huge scandal. This is influence peddling. This is corruption. This is buying access at the highest levels of government. They rewarded a friend with a $500 million government loan. A loan that we now know was turned out to go belly up for a firm and a manufacturer that had no chance of succeeding in the marketplace. Suddenly, if you notice, they're all for green power, clean energy, solar power this, solar power that, everything, public libraries, solar panels, homes, solar panels, everything is solar panels. Suddenly it comes to Solyndra. It has no father. It has no father. I swear to you, it's like the adopted child I just took home. We couldn't find the father for this guy, his birth father. There's no father. Nobody claimed him as a birth parent, as a birth father. Nobody claims Solyndra. Nobody wants it now. I didn't give it money. I didn't support it. Don't ask me. Nobody in the White House supports it. The White House chief of staff, no, doesn't support it. Energy secretary, I didn't sign off on it. Obama, I didn't sign off on it. Biden, I didn't sign off on it. Nobody signs off on it. In front of House investigators on Friday, the two top men at Solyndra are there testifying. Now, you would think this is a big story. This is $500 million thrown down the tubes. And it's not just that. They bought access with the Obama White House. He gave them taxpayer money in exchange for campaign donations. It was the Chicago way. You pay to play. It's quid pro quo. And so here you have Solyndra CEO Brian Harrison and the chief financial officer Bill Stover, basically the front men for George Kaiser, okay, the billionaire leftist that's backing Obama. Now they're in front of the House Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee hearing. It's like The Godfather. You know that scene in The Godfather where you have Michael Corleone and he has to testify about El Cosa Nostra, the Italian mafia, and he pleads the fifth? It's like all these Italian gangsters, all these mafia gangsters coming up to, "Mommy, I plead the fifth. Oh, my, upon advice of counsel, I shouldn't say anything. I have to plead the fifth." Hold on. What do you mean you're pleading the fifth? You're a corporation, for God's sakes. You just received government money. If this was all above board, if this was all on the books, as they say, what's the problem? The company went belly up. Tell us how it went belly up. Like a bunch of gangsters, like a bunch of criminals, like out of The Sopranos. Hey, Mikey, plead the fifth, okay? Lawyer says plead the fifth, plead the fifth. Here is Brian Harrison. He respects the committee. I completely respect the committee, but I don't want to tell you anything. Boys, clip 29.
Mr. Chairman, I have tremendous respect for this subcommittee and the important oversight role that it plays.
Mm-hmm.
I, as much as I wish to be able to answer the members' questions, I have been advised by my counsel that it is the better course for me to assert my constitutional right to decline to answer questions under the Fifth Amendment.
Uh-huh.
While I hope to have an opportunity to assist this committee's inquiry in the future, on the advice of my attorney, I must respectfully decline to answer any questions put forth to me by this committee.
What do you have to hide? What are you hiding? You put me in front of that committee. Ask me about, I don't know, the Washington Times. Ask me about anything. I got nothing. I'm not going to plead the fifth. What do I got to plead the fifth for? And then check out the other thug. Here's the other guy. You know, this guy handled the money. Him, I would, if I was the lawyer, I'd say, you know, the CEO, maybe you should say at least a little something. Look cooperative. But you, the guy who handled the books, all the money going back and forth, you don't say anything. Don't even show up if I were you. Don't even show up. Do it the way you just for your family. Your family will be taken care of, okay? But just go the honorable way. Here's this guy. Here's Stover, the chief financial officer. Boys, roll it.
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I must invoke the privilege afforded by the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and I respectfully decline to answer any questions put to me by this committee and subcommittee. Mm-hmm. I have great respect for the mm-hmm. crucial oversight role that Congress yeah. plays in our democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I trust that the members of this subcommittee similarly have great respect for the privilege afforded every citizen by yeah. the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect, but basically get lost. I have a lot of respect for you, but go fly a kite. You're not getting any information out of me because we know our goose is cooked. We're in trouble. This is what's going on. So you now have crony socialism. You now have massive corruption. You now have a president calling for people to put on their marching shoes. I ask you, is this any different than Venezuela? Is this any different than Zimbabwe? Is this any different than Cuba? Or any Marxist basket case that you see around the world? To me, I know exactly where Obama's taking us. And it's not just Chicago. He's taking us straight to Caracas. Bruce in West Virginia, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, we are in dire, dire times. I tell you, when you can't speak the truth without it having been turned around on you to make you look like the complete fool, it's bizarre, these bedwetting, whining liberal Democrats. It amazes me.
Look, I don't want to go on about, you know, my adopted child and everything. I feel like, you know, like I was telling that to my wife, you know, my kid is the best. Nobody's better looking. No one's smarter. He's going to be the president. He's going to be this. But I'm telling you, I look at liberals and I'm saying this to my wife. They have the emotional, mental development of an 18-month-old child, like my child. I buy him the Cadillac, and I'm talking the Cadillac of car seats. Okay, it's the best car seat you can imagine. I stick him in the car seat in the back. He's crying the whole time. He doesn't like the car seat. The way he's wailing, the way he's crying back there. I said, I turn around to him in the car. I said, what is this, Guantanamo Bay now? Is this what you're going to tell me? You're being tortured? You're being tortured as I drive you to Target, as I drive you to get the best meals, the best lunches, the best sandwiches, the best milk, the best everything. I put you in a $200 car seat. The woman thought I was crazy at Target. She goes, you don't need that expensive. I love him. Nothing but the best for him. And he's crying. I turn around and say, are you going to be a liberal? Are you going to complain and whine about everything that you do? This is unbelievable. This is all they do. They whine and complain. And it's nobody's fault. It's everybody's fault, and it's nobody's fault. It's never their fault. This, to me, is what is the most insulting thing about this guy. You know, I would respect him more if he went in front of the Congressional Black Caucus and said, you know what? I failed. I told you unemployment would be under 8%. I said that the deficits under George Bush were, quote, unquote, unpatriotic. I said I was going to bring the troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan. I said I wasn't going to launch any new wars. And I have failed on every count. And I'm going to change. And I'm going to fire my team. And I'm going to get a new team. And I'm going to do this right. I have two more years left. I'm going to do it right. Instead, what does this con man do? He whines and complains. He's basically throwing a hissy fit. He's like my 18-month-old kid. He can't stop crying. And the question I have for him is this, and especially to Michelle, because now she's telling us, at McDonald's, now they're offering me apple slices instead of french fries, thanks to Michelle Obama. It's not enough that they're taking over our health care. It's not enough that they're telling us how to run our lives. It's not enough that they've impoverished this country. No, now they got to tell us how to eat. Are you proud of your country now? Are you proud now? $10 million on vacations that you've spent? This guy running around the White House? This guy now fomenting race war and class war? He lost the elections in 2010. He's going to lose in 2012. Not because of the color of his skin. Everybody knows that's a lie. Everybody knows what's bringing him down. It's his ideas. It's his policies. And ultimately, it's his character. It's the content of his character, as Martin Luther King put it. He does not have the experience, the skills, the courage, the intelligence, the capacity to be an effective commander-in-chief. That's the problem. It's not the color of his skin. It's the color of his politics. And they can stand there and throw the R word till the cows come home. Next year, you heard it here first. This man will not only be defeated, it will be a landslide. And the only question is it going to be Rick Perry? Is it going to be Mitt Romney? Is it going to be Herman Cain? Is it going to be Michelle Bachmann? Who is going to be the GOP nominee that will coast to victory next year? Because the dirty little secret, members of the Savage Nation, is this. This man in the White House is the most radical, corrupt, incompetent president we've ever had. And the American people know it. And anybody on that Republican stage, I don't care who you're for, would be infinitely better for America. And believe me, this, I'm speaking now to the president personally. You think you're the Sun King. You think you walk on water. But I got news for you. The higher you rise, the harder you fall. And you are going to be in for a rude awakening in November 2012. Because, my friend, you are no Messiah. You are the liberal Antichrist. And we know it, and you know it, and pretty soon the American people are going to know it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Kelby in Georgia on line 5. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes. You know, I've been listening to you, and actually it's not a first time listening for Savage. It's the first time listening for you. And I have never in my life, between Savage, Limbaugh, Bork, never seen the level of disrespect to the president of the United States.
Oh, thanks.
You know, you all get all think that you are God's gift to the earth, the Republican Party. Where in the hell were you when Bush was running this country in the ground? Where were you when deficit was skyrocketing? Where were you when Bush was putting us in illegal wars? Where were you when we took part of Medicare Part D? And you talking about we have a socialist, a Marxist in the office, when we had a damn cowboy that run roughshod over America, a dictator who did whatever he wanted to do, and he sent before a Secretary of State that lied to the American people, and you got a nerve to talk about our President of the United States, that you don't have enough nerve to acknowledge that he's president.
Okay, Kelby, I don't know how to break the news to you. I mean, I've acknowledged that he's president. We all know that he's president. Google my last name, K-U-H-N-E-R. I was the leading conservative opponent of Bush during his presidency in Washington. I criticized the prescription drug benefit. I criticized No Child Left Behind. I criticized the runaway deficits. I criticized nation building in Iraq and Afghanistan. So don't stand there and lecture me that I somehow wasn't tough enough on George W. Bush. But let's get to the heart of the matter. You call him a cowboy. You called him a dictator. So let me get this straight. When the left called George Bush a war criminal, when they called him a neo-Nazi, when they called him stupid, they weren't disrespecting the president. No, they were respecting the president because dissent was the highest form of patriotism. That's the line you guys kept giving us. Now, when it's your man in the White House, when it's your leftist in the White House, and suddenly we point out the obvious, let me give you facts, Kelby. I know it's inconvenient for you. You talk about illegal wars. Where is the authorization for the war in Libya? Number one, you want to talk to me about deficits? Number two, Obama has compiled more debt. Okay, put this in your pipe and smoke it. He has compiled more debt in 3 years than every president combined for 225 years. Forget George Bush. This guy is George Bush on mega steroids. So when I point out the obvious to you, suddenly, no, where were you under Bush? No, where are you now? All of you liberals that complained about the deficit and the debt, where are you now? All of you that were anti-war progressives, where are you now? All of you that stood there and said you wanted a post-partisan president, where are you now? Oh, it's different because it's my socialist in the White House. This is the problem with the left. And it's not just in America. It's everywhere. You are all profoundly dishonest. You're morally dishonest. You're politically dishonest. You're ideologically dishonest. You excuse every socialist dictator in the world. You apologized for Stalin. You apologized for Mao. To this day, you apologize for Castro and Chavez. And now you apologize for this wannabe dictator. Let me ask you this. Now, let's be frank now. Let's be candid. If Michelle Bachmann or Rick Perry or Mitt Romney, take your pick, gave a speech, not in front of the Congressional Black Caucus, let's say in front of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and said Jews instead of janitors. Oh, the uproar. Could you imagine the liberal press corps? Oh, my. This would be on CNN nonstop. You guys would be calling in saying racist, anti-Semitic, anti-Semitic. When he says it, hey, Jeff, you're disrespecting the president. No, I'm not disrespecting the president. I'm holding him accountable. And that's something you on the left have never done. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you once again for the wonderful opportunity of filling in for you tonight. And congratulations, my friend, on an absolutely superb masterpiece. I'm talking about your novel, Abuse of Power. It's going to debut next week, number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. If it goes to number 1, there could be inexorable pressure to turn it into a movie. And if it becomes a movie, I think it may become a cult classic. And so, Michael, I'm with you, my friend. Congratulations. I'm halfway through. It is an absolute page-turner. To all of you out there, if you haven't bought it, trust me on this one. Go and buy it. And one of the themes in the book, I don't want to get too much into the novel. I want you to go out there and read it. But the main character, Jack Hatfield, sort of an American James Bond. He's got a little bit of Michael Savage in him. You can see some parts of it. Resides in San Francisco, has some of the hobbies that Savage has. And obviously other parts are not. But Jack Hatfield is encountering the danger of radical Islam everywhere he goes. And he seems to be one of the few courageous souls who understand that we are now entering potentially a new dark age and that Islamofascism is on the march in the Middle East, in Africa, in Europe, and slowly here in America. And yet, alongside this Islamofascism is a moral blindness afflicting the secular, liberal, leftist elites. If you look, there's an absolute barn burner of a story. It was up on Michael Savage before. I don't believe it's there, but to me, it so encapsulates what the novel is about, what Abuse of Power is about, and what the Savage Nation and Michael Savage has been about and warning about. The CIA has been desperately seeking to recruit Arab Americans, not just as linguists. They need linguists. And obviously, Americans of Arab descent would probably know certain Arabic languages better than most other non-Arab Americans. That's common sense. But they have been aggressively trying to recruit them into every aspect of the agency, to work as spies, to work as people who gather and collect intelligence. In other words, to work every facet of the intelligence community and the intelligence apparatus that is the CIA. Now the CIA is starting to encounter serious problems. The CIA is now realizing when they try to recruit in Dearborn, Michigan, when they try to recruit in Anaheim, California, they are seeing radicalized Americans of Arab descent. They are seeing militant Arab Americans. There is now an annual Arab festival, a fair in Anaheim, California. The man who is behind that fair, the CIA has now found out, is a huge supporter of the Syrian dictator Bashar Assad. The same man who is gunning down demonstrators in the streets like dogs in Damascus. That's the face of large parts of the Arab American community. And now many CIA senior officials are now admitting openly, we can't recruit them because we don't trust many of their views. Many of them are actually sympathetic to radical Islam, to jihadism, to Palestinian terrorism, to Arab anti-Jewish terrorism, to anti-Americanism. And so if we try to bring them in, we believe they can form a fifth column within the CIA. Now, you can't say this in politically correct America because this is racism. Just like you can't say Obama has been an absolute dismal failure, that he is a Marxist in chief. That's a form of racism, according to Morgan Freeman and the other Hollywood literati. And so this is the conundrum that we now face in America. We can no longer speak truth to power. It is slowly becoming the USS of A, the United Socialist States of America. What is obvious to most people can no longer be spoken. You can say it quietly. You can still say it in your homes. A few media outlets like the Savage Nation. But if you say it in a, quote, mainstream media outlet, you will be demonized, smeared, and slandered. And all I'm thinking about is, as we now see Israel surrounded by enemies, as we see Obama slowly calling for class war and inciting racial division within America, you see his cronies at Solyndra now plundering the state, almost like an Eastern European dictatorship. I would expect this out of Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, not out of America. Here you have Solyndra, to me, one of the biggest scandals of our time. If this is not corruption, if this is not crony socialism, if this is not political gangsterism, I give you a lot of money, you throw me big government contracts, then I don't know what is. $535 million, taxpayer dollars, gone up in smoke. The company was barely open, it closed. What happened to all those solar panels they were supposed to build? Well, suddenly, China has the corner on the market. There was no way they could produce solar panels that could anyway rival the quality and, more importantly, the price of what China was producing. Everybody knew it. It was a massive boondoggle. So they all made out like bandits. George Kaiser, the big investor who was bundling money for Obama, and now the CEO and the chief financial officer now are pleading the Fifth Amendment. Like a bunch of gangsters, like a bunch of mafiosis, green mafiosis, environmental mafiosis. I respect the committee. I respect the committee, but I plead the Fifth. I plead the Fifth. Do you know how many Solyndras there are out there? You think it's just this one? This is the mother of all scandals. Is that the trillion-dollar stimulus, the massive deficits, have been used to prop up countless government boondoggles like this. You want to know why the Democrats don't want to investigate this? Because it's like a can of worms. You open up Solyndra, you are opening up hundreds of Solyndras. This is the cancer plaguing this presidency, is when you have this kind of government corruption, these kind of government dollars sloshing around, people are going to steal it. People are going to siphon it off. It's going to be used to reward political cronies and friends like George Kaiser, like George Soros, like Al Gore, like all of these green supposed capitalists who are really nothing more than green hustlers, con men who are plundering the American economy to enrich themselves, taking your money and my money. And so here is David Axelrod, that Chicago thug, when he's asked about Solyndra. I don't know anything about Solyndra. Remember a year ago, Obama was in fact in front of Solyndra, and he said, this is the future. This is the Green New Deal. This is the green economy. This is where all the jobs are. It's companies like Solyndra. I have seen the future. It's green socialism. Now, suddenly, I don't know Solyndra. I didn't authorize it. I don't know anybody who did. Nobody authorized it. Here's David Axelrod in his own words. Boys, roll the clip.
I don't know anybody associated with Solyndra, and I know nothing about the project, so.
You don't know anything about it, huh? Suddenly, no, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody. Harry Reid doesn't know anything. Pelosi, nothing. Biden, nothing. Energy Department, nothing. Obama, nothing. He knew enough to cut the ribbon. The dear leader knew enough when he praised it. Joe Biden praised it. Everybody praised it. Suddenly nobody knows about this. And where are the Republicans? Why has there been no special prosecutor? To me, that's an obvious question. There's massive corruption, misuse of funds, influence peddling, corruption. You're going to tell me this doesn't call for an independent counsel, for a special prosecutor? And Michael Savage was on this other scandal before the media even knew about it. Fast and Furious. Now think of this. You want to talk about all the scandals, all the abuse of power. Abuse of power. The novel, the name of Michael Savage's novel. That you want to talk about a phrase that to me identifies the Obama administration? Abuse of power. Here you have a government program. Think of this. The government is running weapons, guns. They're smuggling guns. Where? Where? Are they smuggling it to the Israelis to defend themselves from a potential genocide? Are they smuggling it to our allies in the Middle East? Are they smuggling it to, you pick it, to Taiwan? Are we sending weapons to Taiwan? No, we can't do that. That'll offend the Chinese. They are smuggling weapons. They are running guns to the Mexican drug cartels. And then the Mexican drug cartels enter American soil with guns supplied to them by the American government, and border agents were killed with those very guns. And the Obama administration then runs out and says, oh, this was a sting operation. We wanted to see who these Mexican drug cartels were, who was using these guns. You don't know who the Mexican drug cartels are? American blood has been spilled because of Operation Fast and Furious. Where is the special prosecutor? The CIA has been infiltrated with potential radical Islamists. Where's the special prosecutor? Solyndra is one of the great scandals of our time. Where's the special prosecutor? The American government has been running guns to Mexican drug cartels, resulting in the deaths of Americans. Where is the special prosecutor? 1-800-449-8255. The question in front of the House is this. Do you care about the Solyndra scandal? Do you care about Operation Fast and Furious? And do you believe this reveals the moral rot and abuse of power at the heart of the Obama administration? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage.
We're not doing this to punish success. This is the land of opportunity. I want you to go out, start a business, get rich, build something. Our country is based on the belief that anybody can make it if they put in enough sweat and enough effort. That is wonderful. God bless you. But part of the American idea is also that once we've done well, we should pay our fair share.
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I must invoke the privilege afforded by the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and I respectfully decline to answer any questions put to me by this committee and subcommittee. I have great respect for the crucial oversight role that Congress plays in our democracy. I trust that the members of this subcommittee similarly have great respect for the privilege afforded every citizen by the Fifth Amendment.
That, my friends, is the state of Obama's America. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Here you have Obama in front of the Congressional Black Caucus, soaking the rich, attacking billionaires, saying how he wants everybody to do well. Don't call me a socialist. Don't call me a class warrior. While, in fact, he is waging class war and class warfare. And there's Bill Stover, the money man, chief financial officer for Solyndra, the $535 million company that was funded by taxpayers that went belly up, money missing, money misappropriated. We now know there were connections to the White House, potential massive scandal, corruption, and this is what he talks about, a fair share America. No, the fair share America is like in any Leninist dictatorship, like in any socialist republic, is you got to make sure that the people in power are taken care of and your friends get rewarded. It's Jeffrey Immelt at GE. I mean, he $14 billion in profit GE has made. And what did they pay in taxes last year? Zero. Nothing. If you're well connected with Obama, if you help get him and his cronies elected and reelected, you get every benefit and perk and tax giveaway possible. This is his America. So we know what a phony he is. We know that already. The question that to me, I think, has to be asked is this. Are we so corrupt as a nation that we no longer care? That you have a massive scandal like Solyndra? Nobody cares. Fast and furious. Government running guns to Mexican drug cartels that end up shooting and killing Americans. Border agents. Nobody cares. I don't know. Does anybody care? Do you care? 1-800-449-8255. Brian in Austin, Texas. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Gosh darn, I'm back to Morgan Freeman.
Sure, go ahead, shoot.
Okay, so why does America listen to actors? They get paid to make believe. That's what they do.
Brian, listen, we'll get back to this and so much more right after the break. I'm up against a hard break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I suppose the reason I enjoy coming to the CBC, what this weekend is all about is you and me, we're all a little bit crazy, but hopefully a good kind of crazy.
Does it unnerve you that the Tea Party are gaining such traction?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Well, it just shows the weak, dark underside of America. We're supposed to be better than that. We really are. That's why all those people were in tears when Obama was elected president. Ah, look at what we are. Look at how this is America, you know? And then it just sort of started turning because these people's surface is like stirring up muddy water.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. What does this say about contemporary America? That here you have this limited, mediocre, no talent actor who has made out, I mean, like a gangster almost, millions of dollars throughout his career. I thought Driving Miss Daisy was okay. Outside of that, I never cared for anything he's ever done. And here he is on CNN, Piers Morgan, that phony Brit, that lefty Brit that they bring in here. Just his accent alone to me is like nails on a chalkboard. I don't know who is running CNN. I don't know what senior executive made the decision to bring down literally that puffed up windbag. But anyway, I'd say, listen, I don't know who you think you're appealing to, but it's not going to work. Maybe five people in Greenwich Village who find this guy's accent sexy. But outside of that, you're not going to get anybody. But let it go. They have to call Morgan Freeman to give his opinion on the Tea Party and on Obama. And to me, this is the state that America is now in. We have become the United States of entertainment. It's reality television. It's what do the Hollywood stars say? What do they think? People listen to this guy. People actually take this guy seriously. The media is taking this guy seriously. And have you noticed? This to me is what's remarkable. I don't see anybody in the left. I don't see the New York Times. I don't see CNN. I don't see MSLFBC. I don't see anybody. I don't see Chris Matthews. I don't see softball on softball. I don't see him running out saying, the rhetoric, the virulent rhetoric, the insulting rhetoric, the divisive rhetoric. So you're telling me that middle America, the overwhelming majority of the American people who now clearly oppose this president and his socialist policies, the silent majority, as Nixon once called it, that's muddy water. That's the flim-flam. That's the dirt. That's the sewage of raw. That's the raw sewage of America. So we're supposed to love socialized medicine. Morgan, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have a nice drink with you, and I'm going to say, you know what, Morgan, damn it, you're right. He's already piled up $4 trillion in debt. I want to give him another term. Let's make it an eight. Let's make it $8 trillion. We can beat Greece to the bankruptcy. We can do that. We can actually outspend the Greeks, and we can go bankrupt faster than the Greeks. You want that, Morgan? Because I don't want to be called a racist anymore, Morgan. This is what we have been reduced to. This is, to me, how pitiful our media has become. That these actors are now given prime time, and somehow, like, their opinions matter. Do you remember when Bush won in 2004? Alec Baldwin, the whole crew, Janine Garofalo, they're all running out. I'm going to leave America. I'm going to leave America. I'm moving to another country. They never left. They never left. Why didn't you leave? Do us a favor. Go to France. Please go anywhere. Get lost. And the thing, to me, the most telling thing, have you noticed it's always the third tier, the hacks that come out with their big mouths? Have you noticed the really top tier stars? They're actually smart. They go, you know, it's going to hurt my career. There's a lot of people out there who don't like Obama, and they buy movie tickets. And, you know, they actually butter my bread. They put money in my pocket, so I better not offend them. It's always the second, third, fourth tier guys that suddenly have to feel the need to open their mouth. And so my question to you is a very simple one. Why are people focusing on Morgan Freeman's comments? Why does Piers Morgan at CNN care so much what Morgan Freeman thinks about the Tea Party, but he won't investigate Solyndra? I don't see him calling for the CEO. I don't see him calling for the CFO. I don't see him calling Attorney General Eric Holder and saying, hey, you guys were running guns to the Mexican drug cartels, to the drug kingpins. Americans died because of that. Tell me, Eric Holder, what did you know and when did you know it? I'd start lining these guys up. You know why? Because you have a phony media. You don't even have a liberal media in this country. You have a democratic media. They are so in bed with the regime, it's not even funny. And this is why, my friends, mark my words, America is slowly becoming a socialist superstate. Talk radio is the last form of genuine dissent in the media, and that's why they want to silence it. Randy in Albany, New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
How are you? First, before I start my quote-unquote rant, let me say I agree totally with what you said about the entertainment community having way too much to say and way too much influence on people's opinions. However, each time that you are on the program, you seem to have this socialist bent towards, you know, what's going on today, and I'm not sure if I agree with that. You know, the you know, taking of funds from the quote unquote rich to, you know, pay for programs might have been a little less painless had the surplus that existed from 2000-2008, you know, not have been depleted so quickly. Maybe it would have been better if we just held on to those funds a little bit. Now, I'm not
blame Bush. Essentially, what you're saying, Randy, is blame Bush. It's all Bush's fault.
I'm not saying blame Bush. I'm just saying that the policies back then were to, okay, things are running great. Let's throw this money back to the highest earners. Now, in today's world, we have a mess, and it better be solved quickly. Or
Randy,
else.
Sorry, you're not making any sense to me. Throw the money back to the earners? What do you mean by that?
Well, to the high earners, so to speak.
Oh, you mean the Bush tax cuts? You think the deficits were caused by the Bush tax cuts?
The current deficits? In part. But with regard to socialism...
Hold on, Randy. We'll get to socialism in a second. But don't take my word for it. Look up the Congressional Budget Office, because this is very important. Revenue under George Bush didn't go down. It went up. He cut taxes, and there wasn't less revenue. There was more revenue. So it wasn't the Bush tax cuts. What led to the deficits under Bush is exactly what's leading to the deficits under Obama, even worse. It's the spending. It's out of control domestic spending. It's out of control healthcare spending. And it's out of control military spending. So when you have two major wars and you're spending like drunken sailors on every social program and you're bailing out every bank and you have TARP and we've become bailout nation, you're going to go bankrupt. So it's not the Bush tax cuts. See, this is the big myth of the left. Now, I ask you this. Go to Taiwan. Forget Taiwan. Go to communist China. They have lower taxes than we do. They have higher growth. They have lower unemployment. They have higher tax revenue. So if the communists have figured out that if you want to generate growth, you have to cut taxes, why is this so hard for modern liberals? Why does this guy go around demonizing Obama, the wealth creators in this country? And so what I don't understand and what nobody can give me an answer for is this. Who gave those people that are keep receiving our money, people on welfare, for example, who gave them the right for me to take money out of my pocket and put into their pocket? I worked hard for my money. Let me be very candid with you. I've been dealing with a lot of birth mothers since we've been going into this adoption process. I've seen a side of America I've never seen before. Rural poverty, urban poverty. I've been talking to many of these people. You want to know what the major cause of their poverty is? It's not racism. It's not economic injustice. It's not the rich. It's not corporations. It's their own personal choices. Many of them have been on drugs since they were 14, 15. I talked to many of these birth moms. It's meth. It's crack. It's marijuana. They never finished high school. 16 pregnant, 18 second pregnancy, 20 third pregnancy. So I look at them and I say, hold on. I went to college. I got a graduate degree. I went 2-3 nights without sleep. I worked and climbed and clawed my way up the ladder to become a successful journalist. And now I'm being told by Obama that I have to pay more to give people like them more money. That's immoral. It's sick. You're rewarding people who have been behaving immorally. So what I tell them is, and I'll tell you exactly what I told them, get off the drugs, clean yourself up, go back to school, and stop having sex, especially promiscuous sex. You don't have to sleep with every guy you meet at a drug party. In fact, try this. This is radical. I know that. I sound like a real radical right winger now. This is, Randy, brace yourself. This is Hitlerian now, okay? This is, I know for many leftists, this is the neo-Nazi now coming out. Get married. Try it. Try monogamy. You may like it. A man and a woman. You exchange rings. You exchange vows. He has a job. She has a job. You make a decision to have a baby. You have a baby. You raise the baby. And suddenly you're not living in some ghetto or in some shack, in some rural outpost. So this is, to me, the illogic of the liberals. It's blame Bush. It's blame the tax cuts. It's blame the wealthy. No. Personal responsibility and strong families. That's what made America great, and it will make it great once again. It's very simple. Those are the eternal principles that have worked in every civilization. Now, if you don't want to practice it, if America wants to go the road of Obama, you want to go the road of Hillary Clinton, you want to go the road of Morgan Freeman, look at Europe. Look at Greece. It's disintegrating. Western Europe is disintegrating. There is a character in Michael Savage's novel. His name is Soren. I don't know this for a fact. This is just my own personal interpretation. I believe he's clearly based upon George Soros. Who is the one that's really been making money here? With the Greek economy collapsing, Ireland collapsing, Portugal collapsing, Spain collapsing. You think it's those greedy fat cats that Obama keeps demonizing? It's his pals. It's his cronies. It's guys like George Soros. They're now going to send $3 trillion into these European banks to bail out all of those countries, all of those banks that made bad loans. Who do you think is going to make money off of those trillions of dollars? You? Me? The guy making $250,000 a year that Obama says, that's rich, the rich, the rich, the rich. He's like a parrot. The rich. No, it's his top guy, his sugar daddy, George Soros. So, my friends, if you are really serious about creating a fair society, a just society, a free society, you embrace capitalism. That's what you embrace. You embrace the free market. You embrace individual responsibility. You embrace the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's what made us the greatest country in the world. Not socialism, not class warfare, not income redistribution. You know what you have when you redistribute income? You have a very few privileged elite. The Solyndras, the George Soros, the Al Gores, special access, special power. They become wealthy beyond your wildest imagination, and most of society becomes poor. We've seen it all over the world. You want to repeat that mistake? That's up to you. It's your funeral. 1-800-449-8255. We'll take more calls right after this break. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Here is the puppet master himself, the sugar daddy of the Democratic Party, the man who pulls Obama's strings, George Soros, saying it's time to pump not billions, trillions with a T, into European banks to bail out all of these economies in Europe that are now collapsing. And guess who's going to launder the money? Guess who's going to make out like a bandit, make a mint off of these trillions of dollars? You guessed it, Soros and his hedge fund managers. Boys, roll clip 22.
It is a more dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the authorities, when push comes to shove, will do whatever it takes to hold the system together. Because the alternative is just too terrible to contemplate.
Too terrible. It's too terrible to contemplate. You can actually see countries get back on their feet, balance their budgets, and they don't need me no more. And I need to make trillions of dollars. I make billions, but now I want to make trillions. Please give me your money, stupid Americans. Timothy Geithner said he's going to help. We need your money. Make me rich. I'm George Soros. He reminds me, I swear to you, of Dr. Evil. You know the Austin Powers? You know, like Dr. Evil? All that's missing is the long fingernail in his mouth. And there he is, master of the universe. And the thing about Soros, you've noticed that under Obama, they've been printing money like crazy. What does Soros do? He trades currency. This guy doesn't create anything. This guy doesn't make anything. He's not an old-fashioned capitalist. He's just nothing more than an amoral speculator. He buys low, sells high. What has he been desperate to do for the last 30 years? He said it repeatedly, interview after interview. He wants to break the American dollar. He wants to sink the American greenback. And he has been betting against the American dollar now for years. And what has he been telling his man, Obama, in the White House? Print, print, print. Spend, spend, spend. Spend and borrow. Because this way, just like in Europe, you're going to need bailout after bailout and printing money after printing money and inflation after inflation. And who's going to make all that money? You guessed it. Soros and his cronies. That's the kind of man George Soros is. That's the man the Democratic Party is in bed with. And you ask me, when I say Obama is a traitor, when I say Soros is a traitor, you ask me why I say it, that's why I say it. Because by bankrupting America, that's how they line their pockets. And to me, that's the very definition of treason. Tom in New York, we got about a minute. Go, baby.
Jeff Cooner, the newest dad in America, speaking to the Savage Nation. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby. Jeff, I'll go quick. It's a rare occurrence that the Catholic feast day of the Archangels is the same day as Rosh Hashanah. Jeff, maybe this is the beginning of spiritual power when Catholics, Christians, and Jewish people put on our spiritual marching shoes and say no to evil all over the world, like the Hitler of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. May the plagues of the Pharaoh be upon them, Jeff.
You nailed it. And Tom, you absolutely nailed it. And this is what Obama has completely underestimated. He has now galvanized the pro-Israel, anti-Obama opposition in this country. Christians, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, you name it, Orthodox Christians, they are now going to rally around Israel in its time of need. And more than that, they are going to go after that usurper in the White House. And what he's doing now, with every word that he utters, with every breath that he breathes, with every incendiary comment that he makes, he is now creating a political army. And this army is going to rise in November 2012. And they are going to send him packing into oblivion. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.